flight track.
Welcome to Infandelity with B and C. One day, a former jock, that's B, married a self-proclaimed nerd, that's C, and slowly she introduced him to the path of nerdom enlightenment. Here we will discuss pop culture media and fandoms that we share and some that we don't. It's all fun and games until your spouse finishes a show without you.
Hey everyone, we're back.
Yin yang in this thing.
What's up? Oh my gosh. So, happy 2024. Shit. It's not even 2024,
but almost. It's about to be. Damn near. Shit. When was the last time
we recorded? We recorded in April, so it's been 8 months.
Shit. Happy Labor Day. Happy Memorial Day. happy Easter. Birthday. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Halloween. Happy spooky Halloween. Season. Right. Happy turkey season.
Right. Yeah, we missed a lot. But, you know, we were activo. We were busy, man. Adulting. This adult life is, you know.
We're kicking our ass sometimes.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, we've been watching things. It's holiday season. So, you know, we've had some time that we're finna get some little bit
B
together.
He has like 2 weeks off. So he about to get to watching his TV.
Right. Right, but we've been watching some things. We've been to the theater, shockingly. I know last time we've pretty much talked, I know I said I boycotted theaters, but we have seen a couple of movies here and there in the theater, even outside of renting out a theater with our friends. We saw the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Mutant Mayhem. Yeah. Oh my God, we should have done like our top movies. Maybe we can do that at the end.
Yeah,
if we can do it real
time.
Quick.
Yeah.
I am a full-blown film nerd. I have I have a Letterboxd account. Follow me on Letterboxd. It's like CSLY something. I don't know. But that'll help me. It helps me organize what I've watched, at least movie-wise.
I think I need to download that.
I really like it. You would like it, too.
Yeah.
At least, like I say, I'm not, like, you can be active on there. You can have friends and stuff and, like, see what they watch and all that stuff. But for the most part, it's very much just, like, what did you watch? Rate it 5 stars is the highest, 1 through 5. Did you like it? And you can leave a review.
So it's like Goodreads.
Yes.
Okay.
And I need to make a Goodreads account, but that's a whole separate thing.
Now, when I was reading, Goodreads was my bad.
You had a Goodreads account.
I still have one, but I was reading a lot more, of course, during COVID time. Like, me and my frat brothers had a whole, like, book reading club. So, we was, like, challenging ourselves to read certain books.
Okay.
And different. So, I would read more a lot then. And it was just, like, I was, like you said, it's kind of the same thing. Able to knock off books. You can put, like, a wish list of things you want to read.
Okay,
You can check off what you're reading currently. And then you can even, like, go page by page. I'm on page 151. And, you know, you can go by that so people can keep up with
you. I've been telling my friend that I'm going to make one. Because, I mean, I still read, but I just don't.
You
document
like
it.
You like it. I like it a lot when I was using it. I need to go back to reading a lot more.
We are off topic. Okay. Today's episode, we are going to talk, like, we're not going to do full life updates. If you know us, you know what our life has been.
Right.
But we are going to talk about, I think, three main things. And then we're going to talk about, four things. And then we're going to talk about, I think we should talk about, like, our top movies for the year or whatever. It could be, like,
I gotta Google.
A brief top three, just to keep it short.
Okay.
Because I think I literally only have three. But, and that's no shade. No tea, no shade. But kind of shade. Mm. Oh, my God. We missed, like, the whole strike. Oh, my God. So much has happened
this
year.
Oh, my
gosh. There was a whole strike. It was, like, they went on strike and we went on strike.
Right. Technically.
No, but for real. Okay. Oh, my gosh. Like, I haven't even talked about The Bear, which I'm not even going to do because it's a whole separate thing.
Oh, The Bear.
Yes. We'll talk about that on another.
Then
maybe we'll talk about it when season 3 comes out.
Then, y'all, we dove into a cooking show phase. Like, we started watching cooking shows.
We still in our cooking show phase, but we just kind of got to get back to it.
Yeah. We've been up to a lot of things, y'all.
All right. So, the first thing, what do you want me to talk about? Killers?
Yes.
First?
Yes.
Okay. So obviously at the end of the year, like, you start to get a lot of awards type of movies, like back to back that are coming out in on the streamer. So Killers of the Flower Moon is Martin Scorsese's. I hope I said his name right.
Scorsese.
Yeah, something. No disrespect.
A dog in the film industry. A dog.
Yeah, he's, you know, one of the GOATs. He's 80-something years old. OG. Still making movies. And so Killers of the Flower Moon is his latest movie. It's 3.5 hours long, so I was not going to see it in theaters, and I especially was not going to ask B to see it in theaters. No. I was like, I need to watch this at home where I can break it up, where I can get snacks, like, take a break, whatever. And my B has seen the first half. He hasn't seen the second half. But my immediate reaction when I watched this movie was just rage. Like, yeah. That movie is so, it's a great movie. Like, honestly, I have no notes on the movie outside of it just being so long. But honestly, and like I said, I'm a film bro, so I be listening to what other people say about the movie. But it's true when they say, like, it doesn't feel like it's that long. Like, it never slows down. Like, you kind of need every single thing that's in the movie. But I hate the fact that it's 3.5 hours long.
Now, real quick, this is the funny thing. I'm going to say this real quick. I'm going through, while she's talking, I'm listening, but I'm also going through my list trying to remember all the movies from this year so we can come up with our list. And people had a top 10 list. The article literally came out today at 10 a.m. Okay. Today, as y'all, is December 16th when we're recording. Number two movie of the year is Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah. It's such a good movie. And, like, I really don't want to ruin it, but honestly, you can look it up because it's based on a fiction, nonfiction book about the beginnings of the FBI. And the second half, the third half really of the movie, the third act in the movie is when the FBI actually comes in. But the first half is about Leonardo's character. I can't remember his name. And I believe him basically, oh my God, it's just so hard. It's like, honestly, I'm about to cry just thinking about it. Please, but man. Essentially, okay, so there's, what's his name? Robert De Niro's character brings his nephew, quote unquote, I really don't know if they're related, brings his nephew to, like, the West, to Oklahoma. And essentially, this Native American tribe, the Osage, they have come into oil money. So the country, which is like, ugh, I hate saying this, but essentially the country has allowed them to sell the oil for money. So the tribe is really rich, but they also don't have access. They don't have, like, full access to their money. Mm-hmm. They have to, like, go through somebody to get money, but they do have money. And so they're walking around, like, in jewels, wealth, dripped out cars, literally, and, you know, they have cars, but they have brought white people into their reservation, essentially, to kind of help them work the land. They have to get their money from white people. So white people have, like, prominent jobs in the town. They're the pastors, they're the doctors, they're doing, like, the dirty work, not the dirty work, but they're just working for them, essentially. Mm-hmm. And at the very same time, the white people are killing them as well. Because, and it's very calculated. They're killing them to either marry into, they're either stealing their shit. Because, like I said, they're dripped out. Like, they got necklace, they got jewelry on and everything. So they're either killing them and literally stealing the shit off of their bodies. Or they're marrying into the families so that they can get this thing called head rights. So once people die in the family, now the money goes back to the white people. And they plot this out. Like, babe, when I tell you that, like, I'm getting hot just thinking about it. Like, it pissed me off so bad. And the crazy part about it is, like, so Leo's character and his wife, she becomes his wife. Like, the wife, her name is Molly. She knows not to trust this nigga. She literally calls him a coyote. She's like, you're a coyote. But you can also tell that she wants to be loved. Mm-hmm. She has diabetes, so she's kind of sick. So she kind of wants somebody to take care of her. And of course, he comes in like, oh, I'm going to take care of you. Blah, blah, you know, like, I got your back. I'm going to protect you. Whole time, Robert De Niro character got him plotting on her, killing her whole fucking family.
Like the movie is literally just full of gaslighting. Like
literally, like I'm about to cry, but literally, like he's killing her whole fucking family, and he's not doing it himself, but he's like the mastermind. Yeah. But also, he's really fucking dumb. And the thing about it is that because nobody gives a fuck about Native American people, and the fact that it happened in Oklahoma, and it's just like so crazy because it coincided with the Greenwood bombing at the same time. Yeah. They even show it a little bit in the movie. But it's like, white people was literally out here just fucking terrorized, like free reign, terrorizing minorities because they didn't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. And so he's even, so the relationship with him and his wife is sick. So she gets quote unquote, like the first trial of insulin comes in during this time period, but he's inject. So he brings the doctors in. And she doesn't trust the doctors because, again, her whole family is dying around her. And she like, they gonna kill me. Mm-hmm. They gonna kill me. Meanwhile, she's living with the enemy. But anyways, so she tells him that he can't bring the doctors. Like, he has to be the one to give her the insulin. But the doctors give him poison to put in the insulin. So literally the whole time he's fucking poisoning her. And that's it's crazy. Like, oh, my God. And then the part of the movie that also is crazy. So like, of course she has to go, she goes out to Washington to get them to bring in investigators. And literally as soon as the investigators come in to the reservation, they start clocking all they shit. They start clocking Robert. They start clocking all these terrible ass niggas who married into these families. Like, they clock everything so easily because they was literally out here just doing this shit in the open, not giving a fuck and being stupid about it. So anyways, her husband finally gets caught up, Leo's character, finally gets caught up, and then their daughter dies because she has like whooping cough or something. So their daughter dies. He goes to the grave and he's upset about it because so the kind of like gray area of the movie is that, can he really love her? Does he really love her even though he's been killing her the whole time? So that's kind of like the gray area of the movie. Mm. And yeah, so anyways, they also give like history of the movie, like a lot of Native people don't live past the age of 50. Like you see how they introduce them to alcoholism. There's a character in there who's depressed. They call it melancholy or whatever. And they're just like, here, just drink some, just drink. Just that's what they tell, just drink it to get through it. Like, mm-hmm. There is no, depression doesn't exist back then. But they also know that, they call it melancholy. So it's like, they know something's wrong with him. He's literally suicidal. And then a fucking Robert De Niro's character basically essentially has him killed to get his insurance money. Like, it's crazy how all this shit worked. Like, it was just so many just different just schemes and scams that they was doing, going unchecked, essentially. And then at the end of the movie, they basically tell you, like, yeah, they went to jail, but they got off, and they just kind of lived on a reservation, like, and basically ain't shit happened. Like, I think Molly divorced him and, like, married somebody else or whatever, but she died at 50. Yeah, but I mean,
poison and shit, damn, yeah.
Or something. From the diabetes. Okay. Yeah, but so basically once he got locked up and she started to get better, she was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So, yeah, because I think she asked him, like, what did you do? What did you put in the insulin? Or something like that. And he was like, I did what the doctor told me to do. I did what the doctor told me to do. And she just got up and walked away. But yeah, it was really fucking crazy. But it was such a good fucking movie. It pissed me off, again, as y'all could hear from my passion and speaking about it. It just made me sick. Like,
I ain't lie to you. That be mean. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
Didn't like make you feel that much about it. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I literally was like, after I watched it, I was probably pacing the living room for like 10 minutes. Because I was like, we gotta, like, I don't want to say no crazy shit, but I'm just like, they gotta go. Yeah. They gotta go. Like, y'all, like, because this shit is still, it's still happening. Like, the ramifications of, like, colonialism is still affecting, like, Native Americans. And it's like, they tell us to, you know, the Native, even though everything is their land anyway, they still went about getting their wealth the American way, the capitalist way, and then they still put measures against them to basically essentially steal their money.
Yeah.
And it's like the black people in Greenwood, they went and they created their own community, their own wealth, and then they were so mad about it that it's like, even if we do try to come up, you still find ways to stifle us. If we should do try to come up, what is that quote? Using the tools of the master to destroy the master. We still using your systems to come up, and you still find a way to
fuck us over.
Yeah, because you can't use the tools. But anyways, I don't want to get all into that. But that's how that movie made me feel. I was like, not this movie radicalizing me even more than, like, it's just so fucked up. So yeah, that was a really great movie.
Dope. I was saying all of that. Yeah, it was a really great movie.
I rated it 5 stars on my Letterboxd.
5 out of 5?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no. I mean, I really didn't have no issues outside of the length. Like, the acting was really good. Yeah, I mean, the story, like I said, the third act was kind of, or how they finished it, it was cool, but it was weird. So, because it ended abruptly, and it was basically like, you know how when you watch movies that are based on a true story and they'll have like title cards kind of telling you like what happened at the end? So instead of that, Martin Scorsese himself was like doing a radio podcast back in the day. And apparently this thing literally exists where they're like telling a story about what happened.
Honestly.
Yeah. So that was like the end instead of the title cards. And honestly, then they did. Yeah. And then they did like a tribal, like a scene of like one of their rituals or whatever.
Oh, I gotta watch. I gotta finish.
It's a good fucking movie.
What is it on again?
The plug.
Oh, okay. Say less.
Oh, no, it's on Apple TV. It's on Apple TV.
Okay. All right. Say less.
But yeah, you can watch it. It's on Apple TV.
Bet. Yeah, I gotta finish it. I started it, y'all, but then I had to go to work. So
yeah,
I will definitely finish it. That's
and nice. I'll watch it again.
Whew. I was like, yo, Cilla, you need to watch it again.
I just gotta go through it with you because it was crazy.
Okay.
Okay. Should we take a break before we talk about the Eras Tour?
Yeah.
Should we take a break or should we just talk about it? Because, I mean, we're probably not really going to say that much about it.
Yeah, I feel like we probably need to take it before. Well, unless we do the concerts and then.
Okay. So, I mean, I don't. Okay.
You going to it?
Yeah, we can take a break. Let's take a break.
All right.
Okay, so Rooney, we have been working. Currently, we have a 15% off sale to the end of the month. So definitely, if you are looking to get your resort wear, get ready for the new year, spring break's coming. Y'all know you got to plan early. That's the type of girlies we are. Planning ahead, get your outfit looks in, and shop our 15% off sale now. All right, let's go back to the show. Okay. Can I have some of that kombucha?
It was talked up for thirst.
Right. Oh my God, I'm so hot. You start.
Okay, so we're going to talk about Tay Tay, T Swizzle, Taylor Swift. She dropped, of course, her Eras Tour. It went into theaters. Initially, I did kind of want to see it in theaters, but I wanted to see it secluded with my own peers because I saw way too many clips on TikTok and on Instagram Reels of white people-ing. And shutting down, you know, shutting down the entire movie theaters and singing and dancing like Taylor Swift was in their actual theater. So I said, I don't want to do that. So I'll just wait. Eventually she'll, you know, release it on Disney Plus or some type of streaming services. And luckily she did. It was on what, Netflix?
Amazon Prime.
It's on Amazon Prime for a fee.
Yeah,
I believe
you gotta rent it.
You have to rent it. I believe you get it for 2 days? A week?
Yeah, 2 days.
You get it for it's a 2-day rental. So yeah, we had a viewing party with some of our peers, some of our good friends. And yeah, we made it a whole little shindig. We had some drinks and some food and stuff like that. But anyway, we just kind of watched the show. Now, mind you, I watched it 3 times in person because I work at the stadium. So I was able to actually watch the actual concert. But of course, I've become a Swiftie just within the first show of working it. I became a real Swiftie. And definitely after working all 3, it was a done deal. So I definitely wanted to watch it again and watch the, you know, full on thing without having, you know, because sometimes when you are working, you're not able to watch everything because you got to work and check on people. But so actually being able to watch the whole thing uninterrupted. And yeah, like it was pretty much the same thing I remember. She did her thing. Like,
I want to talk about what made you become a Swiftie? Because as a former Kanye stan,
yeah,
you were very anti.
Yeah. Well, that's what you are. Like, that's when you're a stan of whoever you are, yeah, you ride for them. So you go against anything that they not rocking with.
Yeah.
So just like when I was a Barb, when there was a time where Nicki, when Lil' Kim became an op, I was going at Lil' Kim on Twitter. And to this day, I'm blocked. So it's like we ride for our shit. Like, so that's literally what it was. And it's like when more and more evidence kind of came pointed towards her, seemed like she might have been lying. It's just like, ah. But what ultimately made me turn into a Swiftie was, I would say, the overall camaraderie of the Swifties.
Mm-hmm. The community.
The Swiftie community in general. Like, just going there, where I'll just talk about this real quick, just when I worked it. When mm-hmm. I worked it, they were just super, just embracing, like, and the thing I said about Taylor, I think I said it last night to Matt's friend. It's just like, she's almost like Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Like Star Wars been out for, like the fandom. Like Star Wars has been out for so long. Like, I'm not saying it like in the way she's been out for so long, mm-hmm. but just her fandom wise, like Star Wars has been out for so long. You got people, great grandparents can watch that shit with their great grandchildren and they can all mm-hmm. kumbaya because they've all grown up or watched Star Wars at some point. Mm-hmm. She had every generation in that building. Mm-hmm. She had little kids. She had their parents. She had grandparents, great grandparents. She had, I'm talking about young and old. Mm-hmm. Was all in there watching her show. Mm-hmm. Super nice people. I have not one issue out of nobody, not one day, no matter what it was. Even if it was something that we did, everybody was just super nice and friendly. I got so many
friendship
braces. We up there. I mind you, that's the first time I ever seen or heard them. I'm up there trading stuff with them people. Mm-hmm. It was just cool.
They were even like, they were friendly with the staff.
Yeah, like it was just a different level that I hadn't seen before. So that, and then the show in general was a really good show. Mm-hmm. Me watching her show, I was like, okay, this, you always just hear, oh, she's the white Beyonce. But it's like, you, when you in there, you feel that. Mm-hmm. Like, she gives, like, I would say her presence kind of gives that same energy. Not saying she out there dancing all mm-hmm. hard like Beyonce and shit like that, but just her, when she got on that stage, the roaring of the crowd was just mm-hmm. so loud it pierced your ears. Mm-hmm. So it was just like to hear everybody go that crazy for it. You saw the people in the movie up there crying and shit, mm-hmm. singing along and stuff. It was just like, damn. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it was just good. So see that 3 days in a row, she gave that same energy, the same, you know what I'm saying? Like just everything. It was no particular night she was different. Every single night she was giving them people the same show.
And the thing, too, about her, what I noticed is, like, when you sent me the set list, I can't remember, was it 44 songs or something?
It was,
like
yeah.
That. I was like, oh, my God. Yeah, like, I ain't never heard of nobody doing a 44-song show. So, like, that lady really be working. Mm-hmm. And you have to give her her 10.
43 songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think that's cool. I've always been a peripheral fan of Taylor Swift. If I hear a song that she made that I like, I'm going to add it to my pop playlist and I'm going to listen to it. I'm never going to be like, oh, you know, I'm not on no stan side. Of course, I'm, you know, Beehive initiate, but I'm never like, no, nobody's. If somebody puts out music that I like, I'm going to listen to it. I really kind of don't care mm-hmm. In that aspect. And I mean, I think she writes great songs. She writes really relatable things. And she has a gift. She may not sing you under the table, but again, she's really relatable, especially to her audience. And, you know, I'm not the target market, but I don't care. Like, the music sounds good. So yeah. I'm listening to it. But yeah, so I definitely wanted to see the show, especially after you had went. I got some friends that are Swifties, so I was like, who went to the show? So I was like, okay, yeah, I definitely want to see what all the hype is about. Even if I don't know all the songs again, I've never like really fully listened to a lot of her albums all the way through. I'll just hear songs here and there. I might hear a song on a show. I might hear a song on a playlist.
In a store.
Whatever. And if it sounds good, I'm be like, what's that? Add it to my playlist or whatever. I might see people talking about it in the edit. That's another way I hear a lot of, well,
everybody hears songs on TikTok now, but a lot of edits or whatever, and I hear a song and I'm like, oh, what's that? I like it, whatever. So that's how I hear a lot of music nowadays. But yeah, so overall, so I already knew what to expect because B told me about his experience. Like he took videos for me and he showed me videos of the show. So I already kind of knew the level of performance that she was going to give. And it was so funny because I was like, when he first showed me videos, I was like, she's so awkward. And he was like, I think that's a part of the appeal. And I'm like, yeah, I think it is too. Like that is her point. Like, I don't think she's purposely being awkward, but I mean, that's how white people are. Like she literally, everybody is like, oh, I want white women to be white women, but then they hate Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. It's like,
she's being the average what a white woman should be.
Literally. So it's like, she's literally doing what they do. And so I wasn't expecting her to like boom cats super hard, like what, none of that. But overall, yeah, I mean, my only beef with her is that she cut Cardigan out of the movie. That's my only beef because that's one of my favorite songs by her. But as far as just like the, oh, and again, too, I really didn't need that documentary aspect. And I understand, too, why she cut. I mean, it's 43 songs. And it was literally, I don't know in person if she did like every verse of every song. But like some of the songs were like just the chorus and just the verse or just the chorus and just the bridge. So that was like a different level of performance that she did. But I mean, the dancers, they were cute. I mean, everybody was like, our friends were like, they got an easy job because again, the dances are not hard to do. Me and my friend was dancing right along with them. We caught the moves. Like, right. It was super easy to like follow along to. It's super cute. I thought it was super cute that she gave Vanessa Bryant's daughter, the youngest one, her hat from what, 22? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was cute. Oh, the costumes. Taylor got some great. So Taylor's costumes were really, really fucking dope or really bad. It was like one or the other. But I also understand that a lot of them went with the era. So like when she had on the big ball gowns, it was like to represent that album cover in that era or whatever. But I don't know, something about it looked like hella frumpy that I was like, girl, we could do just a little bit more. Like we can give the Evermore, the Victorian lady, we can give that, but also just elevate it just a little bit more. But when she had like her glitter Louboutin boots and her glitter blazer and her glitter trench and all that stuff was super cute. And the first outfit she had was super cute. So, I mean, I think it's cute. I hope that eventually she releases it just streaming in general. I don't know who that you don't have to pay for it. Because I do want to watch it again because they were kind of loud last night. And I really couldn't hear the vocals, honestly. I couldn't hear the vocals over us singing. And I couldn't hear the vocals over just us just being loud and talking in general. So I would watch it again. Just so I can hear like the sound quality of everything.
But, yeah, had I not seen that show before, yeah, everybody, I would have told it, I would have been pissed last night because everybody just get real chatty. So,
until their song came on. And that's the thing about it too. Like, it seems, I don't know if every Taylor fan knows every Taylor song, but the actual Taylor fans that we were watching it with, they was talking until their song came on and their song went off and they started talking again. Right. So, just like, so it was like, unless it was your song, you wasn't. It was just like, we're just here having a key.
But yeah, before we go into Rennie, just to give a brief description. So it was her Eras tour. There was no, like, she did release her, the most recent album she dropped was Midnight. Midnight or Midnights?
Midnight.
Whichever one. Whichever one. She had just dropped that album, but the tour was the Eras tour. So she went through every era of Taylor Swift, basically. She did some songs or piece of songs from every single album that she's released. Midnights. Okay, so yeah, she did a good bit of songs from each album that she's done. Definitely a lot of her more popular hits. And then each show she did like one or two songs like that were different that from all the other shows. So each city got their own, or each show got their own special song that was different that was in her catalog. So that kind of made it special. Well, Drake did something like that too when he did on his tour. each city got like a different song in his catalog that wasn't on everybody else's. But yeah.
Yeah, so I definitely think that what I was gonna say is that she had like three albums come out during the pandemic that she wasn't able to tour. So I think that's why she ended up just doing the Eras, because she had Evermore, Folklore, and Midnights. They are like those two, Evermore and Folklore. I don't know if they came out within the same year, but they definitely were kind of back to back. And then Midnights. So I think that's why she ended up just doing all of her Eras. But yeah, it was dope.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we ended up
getting... Well, I think we should talk about our in-person experience, because we both went in person. I mean,
oh, yeah, we can talk about that.
Saw all three shows.
I saw all three shows. Yo, I'm telling y'all, if y'all live in a city that got a stadium or an arena, especially a stadium, I'd advise y'all to get y'all a little part-time ski, because you get paid to watch shit like that, whether it's a game, a concert, event, whatever. Like, you get paid to watch shows like that, so it's a win.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we got razzled and dazzled up on the first show. We went to the Friday show. So in Atlanta, she did three shows. She did a Friday show, Saturday show, Monday show. We went to the Friday show. We got done up to the nines, linked up.
I was in my silver glitter. And you know what's so funny is I was in my silver glitter before she even mandated the silver. Because our show was before her birthday show. It was before Virgo season had even started.
Yeah.
But yeah, it went better with what I was going to wear.
So yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
We got there. You know what I'm saying? She had no opener, nothing like that.
Well, they had like the DJ.
DJ, but you know, ain't no real opener, what I'm saying. Like, yeah, they had like a little house DJ, you know, on the floor in the Renaissance area playing, you know, DJing some music or whatever while people came in. Kind of house music, techno-ish kind of. So, other than that, what we came there for. We came in to see B. She came out in all her glorious and sung Dangerously in Love 2.
Yes.
And it was beautiful, like, just from rip. Like, I don't know, to hit us in the face to start off with that song of all songs, I was like, oh, shit, we finna be in for a ride. Like, how you start us off with Dangerously in Love 2? And it was just a great show. Like, the visuals, the fit she had. I feel like Atlanta show had some of the best fits.
Mm-hmm.
She came out with the Blue Flame fit.
Mm-hmm.
That was fire. Yeah, man. I mean, it was just everything. The dancers were amazing. To see her bring so much light to, of course, the LGBTQIA+ community, not only through this album, of course, but she brought that throughout just with everything. Anything Renaissance involved, even with the show, that was clearly apparent. And goddamn, the fashion show. And I was so excited just to be in Atlanta. I feel like my cousin kind of said something. She's like, I kind of want to start traveling and going to other places to kind of just be in
See what
their energy is like, but I don't know, man. Atlanta energy is just so unmatched. Like, again, working so many different events, I always hear artists say, oh my God, Atlanta has been like, you know, I've never been somewhere like Atlanta. And I always think it's cap, but oh, you just saying that because you here. You just saying that just to hear screams or whatever. But I really do feel like the more even TikTok interviews I see of artists or whatever, they always say Atlanta is just, everybody except Matt Rife, everybody loves
everybody, and now Matt, that Atlanta voodoo is crazy.
Right. Everybody just loves the energy of Atlanta. Everybody just comes here, and I think it's because we just show somebody, so all the people so much love that we fuck with.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew the girls was going to go up for Beyonce, especially in Atlanta. This is like gay capital, respectfully.
Mm-hmm.
And fashion capital, respectfully.
Mm-hmm.
And I just knew that when both collide,
mm-hmm.
it was finna be a real fucking show. And it was a runway. It was Met Gala. It was it was the nigga Met Gala. It was everything that you probably would expect out of Beyonce's show, especially mm-hmm. with Renaissance involved.
Mm-hmm.
Glitter galore. I mean, titties was everywhere.
man cheeks was out, dick prints was everywhere. I mean, lace, mesh, see-through, and bedazzle was the theme. Mm-hmm. And everybody just stuck to the theme. I even had my chest out.
I had no shirt on.
So, you know, everybody, you know, everybody just, you know, read the room, and we did our part. We showed out. But yeah, I mean, it was just a magnificent show. Set list was dope. Of course, Blue Ivy came out all three shows in Atlanta. And at that time, people, you know, she wasn't coming out to every single show. So people were a little worried, like, oh, well, which show she going to come out? We was like, she got three shows in Atlanta. She ain't doing all three.
Right.
But Blue
right.
came out. That was the first city that Blue actually came out
and did all three.
If Beyonce had multiple shows in that city, that was the first time she came in. Blue Ivy came out all three.
Yeah.
So dope. It was dope. It was a really good show. But go ahead.
Yes. So, yeah, I agree. I mean, just going to a Beyonce show, I already knew it was going to be transformational. I miss Lemonade. I want to slip my wrist about it every day. Anytime I have been to a Beyonce concert, it's just, did I say Lemonade?
Yeah, but Lemonade album, but Formation.
Formation tour. I just like her level of creativity and the things that she does. Like, I just knew that I was going to be blown away. And like, of course, just her just being a Black woman and a mother and a wife and, you know, and a creative and just all those things. I know I was going to have all the feelings. Like, that's just what she does. So, you know, 10 out of 10, she met all my expectations. And then she did Flaws and All, which Flaws and All has been one of my favorite Beyonce songs for a long time. And it's a deep cut. Like, I feel like people don't really, I don't say it's under, what do they say?
It's a deep cut. B-side.
What did they
say? A B-side?
No, they're like, it's under.
Underrated?
Yes, underrated. But for me, it's always just been on my playlist. I always listen to it. I just loved it. So when she sang it during the ballad portion of the show, I was super excited. So then,
all right, sit down.
Our kids are out, so we're having some issues. By kids, I mean pets. Don't want y'all to think we have real kids. That
all right.
Not yet. So anyways, the movie, because I really don't, I mean, you said everything there was to say. I mean, everybody looked great. The concert was great. Like, you know, no notes. The movie, I loved the fact that she put so much emphasis on the creativity, like the work and the craftsmanship of developing a show. I thought that was a really cool angle to take. And it's so funny. And like, we're not going to go, well, I'm not going like point by point in the show, but just something that really stood out to me, because recently I had the opportunity to work on a performance, work on clothing for a performance. And she even showed like the people who sewn the costumes, the people putting on rhinestones, and literally reminded me of when I was putting on rhinestones on costumes this summer for a performance. So, it was really, really dope just that she was really, you know, giving her just due to like the creative aspect of putting something like that together. Of course, the vocals were everything. Also, the moments with her children, especially Blue Ivy, and hearing that Blue Ivy heard y'all motherfuckers talking shit about her on Twitter was just so annoying.
It was disheartening. It's just like, here she is, like, one, wanting to do this shit from Jump Street. Beyonce's like, fuck no. She probably had to beg her mom. Most kids begging their parents to do, like, I don't know. Let me play. I play football. Can I do this? Can I do this? She just want to fucking dance, like, on stage with her fucking mama. Get her in the, you know what I'm saying, tiptoe her way into the music industry or whatever. Or hell, just maybe she want to try out. She may not even want to do music. She was like, let me see if I can do this. After this whole tour, she may not even want to do this. This is me I wouldn't be able to do. So it's just like,
but I mean, for she's her, been around that her whole life.
Right. So
they show that in the movie.
Right. So for her to fucking get her opportunity up there with her mama, and like, clearly this is her first time. We know she's probably gonna be nervous. We know she's not gonna be on the same pace as fucking Beyonce. Beyonce has been doing this shit since the fucking jit. So it's like, this her first time really doing some shit. Like, we ain't all in their business for this, so we don't know how many recitals this child has been into. But as far as being in front of fucking 70,000 plus fucking people, she ain't never did this before. Mm-hmm. So, of course, the nerve is going to be there. So, for y'all to sit there and talk shit about that girl or whatever, not talk shit, but yeah, talk shit essentially. And not only that, but for it to get back to her, that shit was, yeah, it was disheartening. And I'm sure that friend, her friend, that white girl or whoever.
You don't know what her ethnicity was.
Whoever it was, her friend let her see them tweets or read her, yeah. She not gonna be around no more. We on NDAs. this is not gonna happen no fucking more. So that was disheartening, but it was good to see. You just saw Beyonce. Yeah, it pushed her. You saw like a little Beyonce in her. That shit really pushed her, motivated her. Where any other child would have probably got discouraged or started crying or whatever. She just went harder, and we saw that shit every fucking show, every video that came out or whatever. I was reposting them bitches, and every fucking video I reposted, you could see the confidence. You could see her, like, just the fluidity, just getting there, just better and better. You just saw her. I mean, it was many videos I started seeing her, like honestly, outperforming Beyonce. Mm-hmm. I'm not lying. Like, giving more energy than Beyonce was. Whipping the head. You started seeing more of her head whips. You started getting more of the sass when it came to her poses after the shit. Mm-hmm. So she just started feeling herself a little bit more. So it's just like, yeah, like, I'm glad she got her moment. And even though I hate that it happened, I think it did work for the best, and I think it did make her stronger in that moment and to show her that
nothing fuels you more than spite. Let me tell you.
Yeah. So I'm glad she got her moment. The one thing I will say, I think y'all said it too. It's like this, because I was noticing that shit as well. It was just like, just watching. I said, God damn, like almost every other scene, behind the scenes shot or whatever, when she was eating, it was like the camera was all in her face and she was tearing food down. I said, oh shit, we hear Beyonce. About this shit. Beyonce. Yeah, Beyonce, I'm sorry, not Blue. We hear about this shit all the time of just like, oh, she probably just eating leaves and just like, like so a pear, or that's it. But it's like,
because in the Homecoming movie, she's talked about her diet.
She had to lose. Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, this girl was like, no. Like, and it kind of showed back to her point, like, I have nothing to prove. Like, I'm just living my life. I've done so fucking much. Like, I'm fucking relaxing. I'm living now. I'm able to enjoy my life. I'm going to eat whatever the fuck I want. I'm going to eat that chicken. I'm going to eat that burger. I'm going to just eat it. Realistically, she's a fucking Southern girl, y'all. She's from Houston, fucking Texas. Y'all think, what the fuck y'all been thinking she been eating all her life? Like, she used to eating probably unhealthy. Like, so it's like, that's just going to be the norm of a Southern person. So, but of course, when she is this prestigious fucking megastar, superstar, there's a certain thing she, you know what I'm saying? Because of course, if she wanted to eat whatever the fuck she wanted to eat, y'all going to be up there talking shit about her. Oh, she didn't law. Oh, she got dental. Oh, she, bitch, she got some, what's the shit called? What's the
babe,
shit?
I feel like you off topic.
No, I'm not.
Cellulite.
Yeah, she got cellulite.
Not
she got
this. Pointing to my
thighs. No, I'm cellulite is in thighs. I was just pointing at I can't even see your thighs. Breathe fucking lie. Anyway. So yeah, I mean, I just think I feel like this film just humanized her a lot more than we thought. I don't know. I just felt like it just humanized her a lot more.
It did.
And how the hell did you get out?
And again,
what? I don't care.
Yes. So then I agree with what B was saying, that like Beyonce definitely filmed a lot of this movie to portray her more human side. I mean, she kept saying like, I'm not a robot. Like, and I think that was the purpose of this, was to show her as like, I'm a human being. I'm a mom. I'm a wife. I'm a daughter. And I'm a sister, and I do this, and I make this art, and I make what I want to make, and I really don't care, you know, at the level that I'm at, I don't have anything to prove. And so it's like, if she wants to, you know, eat turkey sandwiches, or she wants to have a piece of fish or whatever, it's like, she's a real person. Because I know after Homecoming, I was like, I could never be Beyonce. Cause this woman literally said, I'm doing two workouts a day plus rehearsals, and I'm eating like 500 calories. It was like, I'm not doing that, Beyonce. I'm sorry. Like, I'm never going to be on that level. But I mean, like she said at the end of the movie, that's the type of animal she is. She woke up a new ant. Like she has a level of, ambition and perseverance that a lot of people don't have. And I mean, obviously she has talent too, because you have to have her level of talent to be able to get this far. But it's a combination. And that's what I really appreciate about Beyonce, is that she shows it's a combination of talent plus a lot of hard work. And so again, she's just super inspiring. And yeah, I mean, go see the movie. It's great. I hope she puts out a live album. I don't need the visuals. I got enough visuals. Like she said, I got the visuals at the concert. I got the movie. Like now I just need because I need to listen to that Dangerously in Love, live version. I need to hear that like in my headphones at full volume. So yeah.
We didn't even talk about, with this film, I'm going to say this and we're going to move on. With this movie, we saw it in theater, obviously. We saw it with our peers. We ended up getting our own theater. Yeah. And, you know, we had us a little private screening. The one theater ended up not being, I don't know, they had some technical difficulties, I guess. So they ended up moving us from one theater to a nicer theater, actually much bigger, bigger screen, much more space, air conditioned. And yeah, I mean, it was just I felt everybody had space. I think it was like, 35, 34-ish people or whatever like that. So yeah, I mean, I feel like if you are able to see any movie that you really, 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 really want to see, and you have enough people who probably want to see it, or if you just got the money on yourself to just rent it out yourself, cool. But if it's a good bit of people who want to see it, y'all can all split it, go in on it. And with some movies outside of Renaissance, it'll be damn near, if not the same, cheaper than the ticket of a regular movie. So
the price of a regular movie.
Right. So yeah. I would just say, if you can.
Yeah. I mean, we paid like a little bit more than the regular ticket price. Beyonce charged $300. Yeah. She is charging more than like the standard price. But it is open at, actually, I don't know. It is playing at like Studio Movie Grill. So I think if you were to go on a Tuesday, you could go for $5. Assuming.
Check whatever location y'all in. Just find the good areas. I would say wherever our cousins ain't going to be at acting up, try to find a matinee if you don't want to rent out your own one. But yeah, holidays is up. So, you know, everybody going to be out of school. Everybody going to be trying to go to it too. So just keep that in mind. But yeah, go check it out. Yeah. Oh! Yeah, last thing I'm going to say, be careful who you invite. I'm going to just say that. Somebody, whoever it was, fucked up our mute challenge in our theater, and I was quite pissed.
Wait, they did?
Yeah. Oh. They sniggled.
Oh, it was the Cardi B.
Cardi B popped up on screen and made like a little face, and somebody just sniggled. And she wasn't that damn funny.
Yeah. You could've shut your... already seen the Cardi B.
Exactly. Right. You could have shut your ass up. Be careful who you invite. Everybody ain't on your side. Everybody's not on your team.
I can't deal with you. All right. So we're going to talk about this last movie, and then that'll be it for us.
Mm-hmm. What is it?
Leave the World Behind.
Okay, yep. We just actually watched it. I suggested after we were watching it, I'm like, well, hey, we should podcast, because that was a pretty good movie. It was fresh on my brain. It was something I actually stayed up to watch. I didn't fall asleep.
Right.
But yeah, I said, we hadn't podcast in a while. Let's do it.
Yeah. So I actually started watching this movie on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday.
Okay.
I started watching on Wednesday night. I was working and I just needed something to watch. And I saw a lot of my podcasts were talking about it. So I watched it, but I watched the first half while I was working. And then I turned on the second half while I was in the bed. So I wasn't really fully paying attention of the second half by the time I wasn't paying attention to the second half of the movie by the time I got in the bed. So I was like, you know what? I think this is a movie that B would enjoy. I listened to podcasts about it, and I was like, I think this is a movie that he would enjoy. So let me rewatch it and watch it with him. So we watched it together, and I was right. Yeah, the movie's fucking dope. So just like a brief synopsis about the movie, it's about... basically these two families become intertwined because of a cyber attack that affects like a blackout on Long Island or whatever. And so they basically have to come together and kind of figure out what's going on while also like a lot of distrust of each other. And yeah, that's pretty much the movie.
That's a good synopsis.
Yeah. So definitely it's on Netflix. So watch it if you have not seen it, but we're about to spoil it. So what I liked the most about this movie, I initially thought, because I had looked up on Twitter and I'd listened to podcasts, and so I initially thought that I was going to be upset, because I mean, that's the reason why we quit The Walking Dead. But I think The Walking Dead just kind of beat a dead horse. But we never knew like what was actually going on. And so I thought by not knowing what was going on, I was going to be annoyed. And I think I tweeted about like the first beginning of the movie, or my first watch, I was like, oh, we're really far into the movie and I really don't know what the fuck is going on. And they're like dancing in the library. So I'm never going to find out. But on my second watch, I realized that they are literally telling you what's going on throughout the whole movie. They're never like clear, like this is what's happening, but they also are kind of like, this is what's happening. So, but it's like nobody can confirm it. There's nobody to confirm. It's just thoughts and theories, essentially. And I basically like the fact that the movie was kind of it was basically like a COVID allegory, I guess you could say, because to me, everything that they described was happened during COVID. People started to turn on each other, violence, people dying, so yeah, mistrust of people, drinking in a room because you ain't got nothing else to do. So yes, I really like that about the movie. The little girl, she was just so focused on watching her show, and I don't blame her, honestly. Because again, she kind of was this. She described what it was like to like have a comfort show. She was like, I don't care about what's going on. I just want to know what's going on with my people. Like, I just need to find out what happened to my people. So that was funny. And the tension of the movie was like really good, and it was fun to watch it with B, because like again, I knew what was happening but he didn't, so to see him kind of go through the tension of the movie and how the movie was set up was really, really cool. I love the way it was directed, the camera flips, just again the tension in the direction, even outside the dialogue. The dialogue, there was tension too, but the direction, it really set it up to like it was a little bit horror but not really. It was a thriller, like you really didn't know what was going on, you really didn't know who to trust. So yeah, it was dope. What about you?
I am trying to go into it without like analyzing everything, but yeah, I mean overall I did like it. I always feel like I gotta start off with something I don't like. I echo everything you said. Everything you said, I agree. The one thing that I did not like, I was telling her, it was just like the acting, of course, was good, because I mean these are all, you know, pretty much top actors. I would say. I would just say the way they had them delivering lines, especially Mahershala, was very fucking irritating. So again, we've been spoiling it. So spoiler alert. Intro scene, not intro scene, but like when we were first introduced to Mahershala and his daughter, they arrive on the front doorstep and it's just like, okay, like, hey, who are y'all? And he's like, oh, you know, just so sorry for, you know, bothering y'all. And he just said the same shit like two or three times. And it's like, bro, why are you here?
Like the way, I can't describe his mannerism, but his mannerism was just kind of like a little anxious, I think. That would be a good way to describe him.
Anxious?
Like, yeah, like he's just a little like anxious about trying to keep everybody calm, trying to, you know, not seem too. He's like a black man who doesn't want to seem too a certain way because he doesn't want them to make assumptions.
Okay. And see, if the thing was, it was just like.
And his daughter didn't give a fuck.
Right. And that's why I was riding with her. That's why me and her got along. It was just like, you know. I don't know. It was just the hesitation. I'm like, bro, spit it out. Because my thing is this. Is like, if I see some people approaching the door wherever, if I'm visiting or I'm on a vacation, whatever, one, I'm not really going to open the door. But two, if I do open the door and you hesitating on telling me what the fuck you hear, I'm already getting, my antenna's going to go up off rip. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, what's going on? They ain't inviting the motherfuckers in the house after they tell them it's their house. So it's like, but I don't know that. Mm-hmm. How do I know this is your house? I need to see an email. I need to see your ID. I need some form of proof that you are who you say you are. Because mm-hmm. right now, we ain't got no internet. We have no way of verifying this on our end. Mm-hmm. So I think that was the thing. It was just like, you know, and even when he was kind of talking about towards the end, when he was saying like how he was kind of figuring out, I thought this might have been what it was, but I wasn't sure. But after seeing all this thing, mm-hmm. and he was like, okay, bro, spit it out. It's like he was taking so long. No matter what he does, he yes. takes so long getting to the point and getting it out. It's like, yes. bro, get to it. Spit it out.
Yes.
That was my irritation with him. Other than that, I love the daughter's character. Like, she was clocking Julia Roberts' character to a T. Mm-hmm. Julia Roberts was a bitch. a Karen, if you will. Everything mm-hmm. everything was so racial with her. Like mm-hmm. just, like it was like a nice, she was giving, like, nice, nasty racism. Mm-hmm. It was just, like, she would just say little small.
That passive-aggressive.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and it's just, like, but, like, you know, and the daughter was just clocking her ass. Like, so that's why I loved her character. The brother, I'm glad everything happened to him because he low-key deserved it.
He was just a creep.
The only thing he did, I mean, he wasn't a creep. He was a creep, but wasn't a creep. He was a young boy. He was 14, 15.
No, sister was 13, so he had to be like 15, 16.
So, yeah, he probably ain't got no pussy before. Like, he's just probably into that age. He see a black woman that you know, he's attracted to, whatever. He take a little picture here and there. Definitely still creepy, but at the same time, you know, it was harmless creep. But it was just like, just how he was treating his sister. Now, again, I don't have any siblings, so I'm not sure of the true dialogue and the true bond between siblings. But it's just like, the one thing I did like that he did, like when the sister was getting ready to go off in the woods by herself or whatever, he at least went with her. I thought he was going to be like, oh, well, fuck it, go ahead. Mm-hmm. And like, just leave her out there on the wilderness by her own. But it's like, he at least went with her. So I like that. But even being out there with her, he was just a dick, an asshole, and just, you know, he just wasn't being a good brother, definitely not a good big brother. So to see this nigga start to go through and losing his teeth and, mm-hmm. you know, all this other shit, it's like, okay, well, you know, kind of served you right, nigga. You're an asshole. I don't feel bad for you at all. But yeah, other than that, film was good. Like, I liked it. It kept my attention because, again, one of those things is like, okay, I think they do good with those movies because they don't give you that much. They give you just enough to try to wait to the end to see what the fuck the end is. Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on? So if you want to keep in watching to see what the fuck the end going to be, what's going to happen, what's the cause, what's starting this, what's the reasoning behind it, that's why. So something like a whodunit. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you want to stay to the end because you want to see who did it. Who was the person who killed somebody? Who was the person who stole this? Who was, you know? So it was almost like that. So it kept you to the end. And that's what I liked.
The music. I really liked the music.
The music was really good. And I, like we said, like, it was funny how Julia Roberts' character, like, was just...
Love her some 90s R&B.
She loved 90s R&B. Loved some nigga tunes, but don't like who it come from.
But was suspicious of black people immediately.
Right. Those people. What people, sis? You know their names, so you could have easily said their names. Why you got to say those people? Several times.
Yeah, she was a hot ass mess.
So, but other than that, like I said, it was a good movie. Definitely check it out. It's on Netflix. And...
Yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah.
We should talk about our top movies of the year.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about it. I got my ready.
I say top movies and top shows.
Oh, you ain't say all that now.
You didn't really watch that many shows.
I didn't.
Okay, so we won't do that.
I'll say Snowfall.
Just I thought that was last year. It ended this year?
That was the last thing we talked about. We probably had this year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Snowfall.
Well, that's why we ain't had no podcast.
Why?
Because that was the last thing you watched.
Yeah.
Outside of the bear. And you didn't even really watch that. So
I fought with the bear.
But you you really didn't watch the second season? You fell asleep.
I watched the second season. That's why I didn't care much for it, but I liked it. I like the show. So I'll give you my movies. So I actually have, six movies. You hear me?
Yeah.
I have six. I'll give you.
Go ahead. Just read them off.
I'll give you my top five and I'll give you honorable mention.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So you want to be in order?
I mean, I'm not going to, I don't have my listed in like top. I have my, I could tell you number one, but I can't tell you the order of 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Okay. I'll give you my number one. My number one is They Clone Tyrone.
Okay, that's really good.
Yeah, that's my number one.
That was would be like my number two.
Okay. I think my second would probably Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, rock like that movie. I cried like a bitch for that movie. Oh my God, y'all. Really I cried so much during that movie. That was a good movie, though. I think three would probably be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem. Mm-hmm. I really like that movie. It was really funny.
That's my number one.
That's your number one? Mm-hmm. It was really good. I really like that movie. What was that? Three? Mm-hmm. Four? Four is... Well, these are being really no order. I would say Spider-Man Across the Universe. Spider-Man Across the Universe. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Mm-hmm. I like Air.
Damn, I don't have Spider-Verse on my Letterboxd.
The movie Air about Michael Jordan.
You like that movie?
Yeah, I liked it.
Okay.
I think that was probably my five. And my honorable mention was Creed 3.
Oh, shit. I forgot about Creed 3, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Damn.
Those are mine.
I forgot about that. Okay. So, mine, definitely, like I said, my number one is Mutant Mayhem, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I did not think in 2023 I would love a Ninja Turtles movie, but right. It was fucking fire.
It was like, really good.
Everything about it. When is it streaming? Because I need to watch it again. That movie was so fucking funny and so cute. Like, mm-hmm. Oh my God. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Number two.
Let me get a bacon, egg, and cheese.
Number two, They Clone Tyrone. That's just a fucking dope movie.
That was dope.
It's just really good on so many levels. Number three would be Killers of the Flower Moon. Y'all just heard me ranting about it. Mm. Number four would be Barbie. I don't care what they say.
What?
I'm sorry. The Barbie girl in me. I'm gonna have
Oh my God.
I'm gonna have to put it on my list.
Okay, after you do your list, I need an explanation.
Damn, I really don't have my list together like that. Leave the World Behind. Because, hell, I forgot about all the movies we watched before I made Letterboxd. I forgot about Creed 3. I forgot about... What else did you say?
What, Air?
Oh, no, I didn't like Air.
Spider-Verse.
I forgot about Spider-Verse.
Guardians
was all right.
Creed. Oh, I said Creed.
So, yeah. I think I just gave y'all five. But yes, the movie that really affected me and I loved the most was definitely Mutant Mayhem. Mm-hmm. But I watched a lot of shit, y'all. And a lot of shit I watched pissed me off.
Oh, yeah. We saw that at a theater. It was like what
Barbie?
No. Mutant Mayhem.
Yeah, it was like free movie. Free $5 tickets or free. I think it was $5 tickets.
Yeah, something like that. So
it was movie day, national movie day.
And so you know me, I was like, all right, whatever, we'll go watch it. So I already knew because what kind of movie it was gonna be. It was gonna be a lot of kids in that motherfucker. So I was like, oh God. But it really wasn't it wasn't that bad. Like
yeah.
We did have a big mama in front of us who didn't have no chair.
It was just a lot going on. It was like every time we go to the theater, it's always something going on. So
you see that.
I can never like convince B to go to the theaters, and because every time we go, it's always something.
I'm glad she at least acknowledges that now. I don't think she's ever actually said
but
that.
When I go by myself, I don't be having them problems.
Yeah, I am talking about every time for me. Every time it's always something. Now, one time we didn't have nothing when we saw the Marvels. We had no issues in there. That's pretty much because
damn, but I don't have the Marvels on my. Oh, yes, I do. I gave it 3 stars.
We saw the Marvels in theater, and
the biggest L of 2023. The MCU.
Oh, yeah. MCU. Yeah, they fell off.
No shade to the Marvels, because honestly, it was really cute, and they just got the short end of the stick with the strike and everything, and with Marvel being annoying. But...
Yeah, the Marvels weren't really that bad. I fell asleep really on it, but it wasn't that horrible.
it's not what it's giving on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it got like 15% or something. It's not that.
Okay, Barbie.
I just loved, like... the nostalgia. Here, I'm like you. It's like if you like Lion King, you just like. I liked the story. I liked Ken, which is funny because I believe most people's favorite is Ken in a movie that's about Barbie.
I was just about to say, listen to me. I'm actually leaning in front of the computer right now. I'm talking to y'all. This is me and y'all moment. The irony that a movie about Barbie, a little girl's toy since the beginning of time, the people that led the movie were the Kens. Like, make it make sense. Ain't nobody ranting and raving about the Barbies. Nobody's saying, oh my God, such and such had a wonderful performance in this, or da 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 da. Everybody's like, oh my God, such and such was so hilarious. The Kens was so hilarious. Da 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 da.
Yeah, he outsold the movie. It's unfortunate, but it's true. Let's just be honest.
Let's call a spade.
So.
How they make a movie for the women and the men still take the lead?
I like the set design. I liked that America Ferrera's character was like drawing clothes. I had a revelation that the reason why I'm a fashion designer is because of the Barbie fashion designer game. Like, uh-huh. A lot of things happened to me during that movie.
y'all.
We know you hated it.
I don't even think I talked about it on the show.
You hated it. We ain't gotta talk about it.
I'm not even talking about it for real. I'm just gonna say this and I'm gonna go. I did not the fact that I hated it. I hate it. I knew what it was supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? But I hated
it. It was just too heavy-handed.
It was super heavy-handed.
It wasn't subtle. They didn't go about it subtly at all, and that made it a little bit like corny.
Like it was very, very what's the thing called? Political. Mm-hmm. It was super political with the whole, like, just the sex, like, you know, just the men and women thing. It was just super political. And I was like, oh, no. This is a movie that I should have sat that one out. That's one movie I regret watching, especially in the way that we watched it, because that wasn't for me. That was a movie for the girls to do their thing. That's a girls or the girls type of a night or evening or whatever. That goes something they go see. Fellas, sit that one out. And I know it's too late now. You know, it's not like it's in theaters. I'm telling y'all to sit it out. But let's rewind back. Like the movie had just came out. Fellas, don't see that one. Let your girl rock on that one on her own. Like if you ain't seen it yet and it's already out, matter of fact, it just came out on fucking HBO Max.
Yeah.
If y'all ain't seen it yet, fellas, watch something else. Go play a game during that time. Go upstairs, watch a game. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just parlay. Give her about a good 2.5-3 hours.
Gonna hear about how shitty men are for the
whole That's all. Movie. That's all. And the men lead the motherfucker. The irony. So just sit that one out, bro. Just know at the end of the day, the men lead the movie. So let's know that we get the W at the end of the day. City Boys on top. City Boys on top.
Okay. Cut the cameras.
City Boy got that dub.
Cut the cameras.
They tried it.
All right. So
I think they got that for number. No, Oppenheimer was number one on people.
Oppenheimer. Oh, yeah. That's what I was going to say. So Chris Nolan is my biggest op because he refuses to put his movie out on streaming. I think they opened it back up in theaters. That is another Oppenheimer. Exactly. Oppenheimer. Exactly. That's why I said that. That was good podcasting by me.
Yeah.
But yes, I think that's another 3-hour movie, and I'm not going to sit in a theater for 3 hours. And honestly, I don't even like the subject matter of the movie, but I simply want to see it because I like Chris Nolan movies.
You don't want to see the nuclear bomb? The making of the nuclear bomb?
No, it killed millions of people.
But it's a nuclear bomb. I mean, it's cool. My dad used to work at a nuclear facility, so that's why I'm interested in stuff like that. Like, he used to work at this nuclear plant. So,
but that's nuclear energy. That's not nuclear bombs.
I mean, they did all that shit.
They made bombs?
Yeah, they did all that shit.
How do you know?
Because he told me that shit. Oh. And they also did the what's called too. They like, you know, the things that make spaceships shoot up in the air? The rock, the fuel? The fuel shit. They put the fuel in those things to be able to make them shoot up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, whenever that comes out, we'll watch it, but we have not seen it. So we can't put it on any of our top lists because Chris Nolan is a terrorist and only wants to force us to watch a 3-hour movie in the theater.
Small fact, y'all. This is personal. But
He also, so while he was there, he worked like, it was like hella radiation that was there, like super hella radiation. So it was like, I remember he used to come home, and before he would get home, before he'd walk in, he would take everything off. Like, every, like he would have like certain shit on, he would take everything off. Mm-hmm. I remember he had his work badge. He had so much shit on his badge. His badges looked cool. I mean, I wanted to say, like, no, don't touch it, don't touch it.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't touch nothing of his if it came from out of there because...
Yeah, the radiation.
And so, of course, now, years and years later, you know how they have all those things on the radio. Have you been affected by da-da-da? Yeah. Have
the
you
the side effects.
Right. Have you been around radiation? You could be titled to da-da. So he actually had one of those, like, not too long ago. Like, he had to go to a doctor and kind of get screened to see if he had any kind of radiation or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Hmm. Small fact. Small fact.
Interesting.
But, yeah, y'all, y'all may or may not hear from us next week or whenever, you know, this may be just whenever we feel like doing a type of a thing. Oh yeah, yeah, we out. So yeah, you know, y'all just, you know.
But I mean, I don't know, maybe we can have a conversation about the bear. That's my new thing.
Yeah. I don't think we've been as active on socials.
I want to talk about, yeah.
But definitely still give us a follow on those, you know what I'm saying? Infandelity Pod on both platforms, Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah.
Definitely Twitter. Definitely follow us on Twitter. Instagram be straight, but definitely follow us on Twitter. Yeah. We'll get back a little more talkative. We've been chilling. Not chilling, but we've been busy, but chilling off with the podcast team.
Yeah.
But yeah, anything else?
No. I'm trying to think if there's anything coming up that like I'm looking forward to. I hate Marvel. Oh yes, The Color Purple. Maybe we can talk about that. That'd be good. Wonka, Color Purple. Yeah. I was gonna say Echo. That show looks good as fuck. I know you. Did you watch the trailer? Oh well, that looks good. And I know I'm, you know, Marvel is on the down turn, but they look like they kind of ate that. And they're putting it all out. And they're not doing a weekly. They're doing it binge, like a binge mode. Cause yeah, they're scrambling right now. And I think What If is coming out. Like, there's one or two episodes coming out every day for like a week. So,
are you doing What If again?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
And that's coming like next week or the week after that.
It was something else I wanted to watch. Oh, the movie with is it Cuddy? Silent Night? I think that's Cuddy.
Silent Night, maybe.
It's like a, I think it's like a horror thriller.
Or Thanksgiving.
No, Thanksgiving was one too, but they have one called Silent Night. I think Cuddy in that.
Okay, you might be right.
Yeah, hold on, let me see. But yeah, I want to see that kid movie. Hold on, movie. Yeah, it came out. When does it come out? Come out. Hold on, y'all. Help me out. It comes out. Oh, it's already out. December 1st. Who in this? Uh-oh. Help me, babe.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Cuddy in this. Yeah, Cuddy in it.
He about the only person I recognize.
Yeah, ain't nobody got no names in here.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. Well, all right, y'all. If in case we don't talk to y'all before Christmas, which we probably, I know we won't. Happy holidays. If we don't talk to y'all before the new year,
Merry Christmas, happy new year.
You know, make 2024 whatever you want it to be. Let's get to that money on. May everybody get raises and get bigger bags in the new year. Or if you got your own business, get a bigger bag, get some sponsorships, get some whatever you trying to do. Just goddamn do it.
That's Beyonce really don't care. She just posted anything on Instagram.
I mean, when you got enough money,
right?
That girl got $800 million. Well, she ain't got it. She got more than that, but she's supposedly worth $800. I never understood that. How somebody say you worth something, but you actually got...
Because it's like, it's not all cash.
It's like assets and shit you own and shit.
Yeah, it's not all cash.
But that's always lower than how much they actually have, though, ain't it?
I don't know. It's like, you never know. It's kind of like an estimate, because it's like, you don't know everything that they got. Because
it was something like, it was one time, I forgot who they interviewed, but it was just like, you said that net worth shit, or how much somebody worth don't mean shit. How much you say I'm worth? Da-da-da. I'll show you my bank account right now. And they showed an account or whatever. Yeah. And they said, what's in there? And he's like, you can tell him what's in there. And they showed the camera or whatever. It's like, is what he had in his account was way much
more. Right, because it's like, you never will know. You never know.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's all speculation.
Well, anyway, y'all, again, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year, all that good shizzle. We will talk to y'all next tizzle.